Are you ready for a journey? Say, Heavenly Father, I'm going on a journey. I'm not taking all the practical stuff. The only thing I need is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. John chapter 5. I'm only going to give you this because I want you to see it for yourself. John chapter 5. Verse 18. For this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer, and it should be written in red if you have a red letter edition. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. Now look at your neighbor. Say, if the first kid couldn't do anything on his own, who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are?
Jesus? Oh, no.
All right. What am I doing? I'm pulling your leg, ain't I? But every day, you know, that scripture has been pounded into me for a long time. Jesus couldn't do anything on his own. Why? Because he had to have a relationship with Papa. And you and I can't do anything on our own, because if we do, we make a mess. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. So he's having visions. Ah, he's having dreams. He's having words of knowledge. You say, well, that was Jesus. I saw Jesus using many of you tonight. So to me, you belong to the same Papa. Say, ouch.
Ouch.
You know why I'm having you say ouch? Because sometimes our unbelief button goes way out, like Pinocchio. And we repeat it over and over. Well, I'm not worthy. I'm not this. I'm not that. Yes, you are. You are all things through Christ. You say, well, what are you after? I'm after a message. And I'm taking you on a little journey with me to my little book called The Apostolic Reformation by a man that I found irritating and loved him. His name is Doug Fortune. And The Inward Journey is where I want to take you, so just close your eyes for a moment. And it's taken from page 10. I normally do not like to burden others with the details of my life. However, the following inner journey may be helpful reading for some. It began with the following words, he spoke to me, meaning God. Mm-mm. Bread is broken before it is partaken of. The kernels of wheat must die before it can live. So one must be broken. One must die before they are fit for my use. Have you not read how the vessel was marred in the hands of the potter? So he made it again, a different vessel. My purpose and plans are generally revealed in seed form. And though they are God-given, they are not immediately fit for their ultimate purpose. As I received the above words, I knew that there was much more to it. But what I didn't know is that it would not come in the form of words, but rather I would be living it out over the next several months. What began as fasting and prayer to awaken the sleeping virgin in our congregation, little did I know I was the one he wanted to deal with. Turned into a steep and treacherous journey into the depths of my own soul, the depths of my own mind, will, and emotions. The following tear-soaked letter was written in the midst of this journey at perhaps the lowest point. Dear Jesus, you desire truth in the inward parts. Psalms 51. Lord, I know you are calling me through the veil into your inner chamber. And I know I must first enter my inner chamber before I enter yours. I know there is a veil that must be rent or ripped from top to bottom before I can enter. And that veil is my life of the flesh. The only way that veil is rent is as I enter into my inner chamber. But I don't like what I see in my inner chamber, for it is filled with lies, deceit, lust, selfishness, a veritable host of vile things that I thought had been dealt with. Oh, but they're still just waiting there to manifest. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? It is so wretched, seeing what a fraud I am. Most of what I say I am and I believe is just so much training. Cleaning the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of dead men's bones. No wonder I am so guarded and hide behind walls. I can scarcely face what I see there. I set out to fast and pray that sleeping virgin be awakened from the slumber. Little did I know that I was heading down a steep and treacherous path of self-exposition into the depths of who I am, only to find it filled with self-deception, pride, lust, selfishness, self-ambition, and the list goes on. Oh God, I know you didn't bring me here to leave me here. I'm just not sure what to do once I'm here. Yes, I want to repent, but I can't even trust my repentance. It might just be remorse over getting caught, so to speak. I feel as if I'm the lowest point of my spiritual life I've ever been at. Perhaps ignorance really is bliss. I suppose all this has been in here all along. I just haven't seen it as clearly as I do now. Help me, Lord, I feel like I'm going to die. Yes, there is a death that happens and needs to happen, not a physical death. I've got to take all that filth and place it and me on the altar of sacrifice. Oh God, let the fire come. Consume every last filthy pit, I pray. Yes, I said, consume every last filthy bit, I pray. Oh God, don't let it just be rhetoric and worthless lip service. For it seems my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Lord, I see it all, this filth, and I have to admit that I am really powerless against it. Unless you do something, I am paralyzed. I think most of what I've learned in the past about spiritual warfare and conquering strongholds of sin is just putting a Band-Aid over the cancer. I need you. I'm desperate for you. You have got to deal with me, Lord. I thought I had been down this road many times before, but this time the road is absolutely treacherous. It's like walking into a blazing furnace of truth. Help! The Lord is gracious in that he didn't not leave me there, in that abyss of life of the flesh. But he provided a wonderful release and has taken me deeper into intercession and intimacy than before. Towards the end of this ordeal, he spoke the following words to me. See, my son, I have had you in the palm of my hand during this difficult time. For my chastening, for the present seems to be pleasant, but rather grievous. But know that the end produces the fruit I desire. I repeat, the end produces the fruit that God desires. How can I release my glory upon one who has not known the depth of the depravity of his own soul? I cannot, for pride would rise up and claim the glory for itself. And what is my ultimate purpose but to clothe you with my glory, that we may be one flesh, united as a bride and groom? Know that for you to be one flesh with me is to enter into my life of the flesh. The veil which was rent from top to bottom, and so too as your life of the flesh becomes my life of the flesh, there is a rending that must happen. For it is your life of the flesh that veils my glory. I repeat, it is your life of the flesh that veils God's glory from manifesting in your life. Indeed, I do desire truth in the inward parts. As you accept the truth of your true condition before me, then I shall make you to know wisdom in your inmost being. For what is wisdom but living truth? Not abstract or inoperative, but truth being lived out. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 26. Now come with me on a journey upward to a new day. Are you ready to go upward? Are you ready to sit with him? When you and I acknowledge what Doug acknowledged on that time slot of his life, things began to change for him. I can remember Pastor Gino used to call it a white funeral. And at one point in my life, when things were really difficult, and I was living in the cave, there was pressure in my body to the degree that I know I passed out on the floor, but I made a decision that night. I was all done running. And I said to the Lord, either you take me home, because there's no way, there's no ER that's going to see my face. I'd rather go home with you than to continue what's going on. You say, why are you sharing that with me? Because some of you are walking in that place. And you're arguing with what's going on the inside of yourself. No different than Doug. I'm not comparing my walk with his. I'm not supposed to be like him. I'm supposed to be like me. And I'm supposed to be like Jesus. And your walk is not to be like me, but to be like him. Your walk is to be able to face your circumstances and let a new mind be placed in you, a new understanding of who you are in Christ. And that journey upward, I will go deeper with that on Sunday. But if Jesus couldn't do anything to please himself, isn't it time that you stop treating God like a Santa Claus? I had a conversation with a person that I've known for 30 years on Sunday night. And my wife was listening. And I said to this person, because they're totally depressed, you're going to continue in your walk with depression if you like it so much. You've been on it for how long? You've lost everything of value to you because you're insisting on God doing for you instead of letting God do with you what he's already prepared. They didn't like the news, but I wasn't going to play footsie with them and feel sorry for them because they made the decisions. I didn't. I made my own decisions, and some of them were not nice because I was selfish just like the rest of you. And I'm not accusing anybody, I'm telling you. We are all selfish human beings, following after what we want, when we want it, and we insist upon it, and we get mad at God if he doesn't provide it.
Amen.
Wrong. It should not be. And we need him to straighten it out. You cannot do it on your own. Jesus couldn't do it on his own, and you and I can't do it on our own. And I know I'm preaching to me as well as to you. So what I'm saying is, if you want to rise above and go higher, we will go. But if you choose to go off on your own, go ahead. I can't make a desire happen in you. I can't even make a desire happen in me. But I know one thing. We are on that journey to go higher than we've ever been before, and we will make it to the finish line because the one who started the good work is going to what?
Finish it.
He's going to complete it. Now close your eyes one more time and put your hand over your heart and the other one over your head. Say, Lord Jesus, your word says,
when I lay hands on the sick,
They will be healed.
I've got a heart
that needs healing.
And I've got a brain.
A mind.
Some emotions.
They all need healing.
And I'm declaring the truth.
I'm laying my hands.
On this sick person.
That needs healing desperately.
And I command healing now.
To myself.
The first person needing healing is me.
And I receive it by faith.
In Jesus' name.
The old creation is dying.
The Adamic part of me is going down.
But my spirit man is rising.
And I shall accomplish.
Everything God prepared for me to do.
And by the way, Lord.
I'm forgiving the old nature.
By the blood.
Of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
I am on a journey.
And I can do all things
through Christ who strengthens me.
Philippians 4:13.